Blog Talk Radio.
Mojo out there. It's going to be interesting. All right, disclaimer time. Desperate House Witches is not a G, PG, or even an R-rated show. So, tonight, especially tonight, if dirty talk, bodily functions, things that might be considered offensive to normal, nice folk, are something that will upset you, you may not want to stick around because when tonight's guest comes on, all hell breaks loose, literally and figuratively. And it gets down and dirty sometimes, so you have had your fair warning. All right, now that that part's out of the way, Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the amazing, the incredible, the one and only Wicked Witch herself, Dorothy Morrison. Check out her website at www.wickedwitchstudios.com. She is a maker of fine pagan goods. She is also our spiritual aunt at this point, because she's not old enough to be my mama, so
nope. We'll not say my aunt either.
Cousin on that one. We love her to pieces, and her goods are also sold overseas through theangrycauldron.com, so check it out. You can get it here, you can get her to go overseas. She's amazing. She flies, yeah. All right. Shameless plug time. My new line of protection bracelets, Starcross Creations, are now available exclusively at Asheville Raven and Crone.
Yay!
Check it out. 555 Merrimont Avenue in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. I may actually be doing an event there on October 20th. Details to come. All right, so tonight's a little bit different. Tonight we're going to have Jade Soul Luna on a little later as tonight's official guest. But in about 8 minutes, we're going to have a call in from a very good friend of the show, Dr. Deborah Burris, and she's going to talk about a local event going on in the Arkansas area. So we're going to be pretty excited to have her on, so it's a little change of pace for us. But until she comes on, did you check out that fucking moon? I gotta ask.
No,
you.
I like passed out early yesterday. Like
okay. So this morning, let me just say, I did not see it last night. I saw it this morning on my drive into work at the 5:30, the time of 5:30. And it was amazing. But let me tell you what. Communications were disrupted. People were snappy as a motherfucker today. It was insane. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. What were you going to say about last night, sis?
Oh, I was going to say, and actually my nephew might be jealous. The husband took off... right around, I don't know, whatever, took off from work with some of the guys and went down to Spartanburg for Panthers training camp.
Nice.
They're training again. I'm so excited. It's almost football season. But, yeah, I was like, I wanted to stay up for when he got home and, you know, hear all about it. And he texted me that he was on his way, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try to stay up. 5 seconds later.
Uh-huh.
I was tired.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But this is a good time to try to harness some of that energy. because I had not prepared myself in any way, shape, or form, except for one bracelet, I need to make some more. I understand. I have sent all of my wares to Asheville. Very proud that they are willing to house my stuff and let people buy it from them. So that was really exciting for me. So I'm gushy a little bit about it right now. But yeah, slap that hematite on your body. Wear your protection. Protection is not just for the bedroom. It is for everywhere. Although I make no claims that my bracelets will prevent pregnancy, they do help with some negative energy. However, my mistake today was my bracelet is very old hematite, the one that I currently am wearing because it's the only one I have left. And over time, when hematite gets dull, it's time to replace it. When you see that it has dulled out, it has sucked up all the shit it can tolerate. That's why when you get those hematite rings, once they start to turn a matte finish, you'll find that a lot of the time they will break literally in half. That means that ring needs to be replaced. It has sucked up all the negativity it could possibly deal with. It is time for fresh. So the bracelet, the one remaining bracelet that I have, the hematite on it is over 5 years old. Oh. I just love the style of the bracelet. Now, true, I can just rework the stones I have. But, you know, when you're busy making product for other people, you forget often to take care of yourself. So I sent everybody in my office protected except me. So today was very hostile, emotional, lots of arguing, lots of bitching, lots of whining. You know, the things you actually want to try to avoid during the situation. No, I didn't get to avoid. My own fault for not being on top of it. No, I did it to myself. I should have. See, I had ample time last week. Well, actually, I didn't because I was working, but I should have made time last week to make myself another bracelet after we got back from Mystic South Conference, and I didn't. I was busy trying to catch up on my day job. So this weekend is to produce more product because I need to start putting it on me. So tomorrow there will be new bracelets. They will not be posted because they will be mine.
So, no touchy.
But no touchy. But so that's how my day went today. All akimbo and things flailing and everybody just. Well, I'm doing two jobs. Motherfucker, we're all doing two jobs. Relax. People were just hostile. I'm like, damn, isn't hostility like my job? But apparently everybody wanted in on the hostility today. I'm like, all right, it's fine. It's amazing. It's like, bitches need to calm down.
Yeah,
but anyway. I'm sorry, baby. Say again.
I said, calm your tits.
calm your tits. Damn it. people were not having their tits calm today. It was kind of frustrating. It's like, wait a minute. You're acting like I do on a normal day. What the fuck? So,
yes, it was a flying frenzy of tits.
Frenzy of tits. Tit frenzy.
Tit frenzy.
That's an interesting one.
Speaking of tits. Guess who's in the queue?
Is that Dr. Burris?
It is. Hold on just one moment.
Let that woman
on the air. Hello.
Hey. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah,
ma'am.
Awesome.
You.
Awesome. Yes,
love
it is
you.
I.
Miss you. Miss you so much. Miss you, miss you. Love you, love you.
I miss y'all too. It seems like it's been ages, but yet not very long too. Isn't that weird?
Yeah,
nope.
I was thinking that.
Exactly how it feels. Yep, I just know I'm used to seeing you every single day, and now I don't. So now
I know. Well, you can watch my podcast.
I do. Tell people about about your podcast, because I love your podcast.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Real quick, I do a podcast. It's called Diary of a Physicist Farm Gal, where it's on a video podcast on YouTube where I talk about my making, because I sew and I quilt and I knit and I crochet and I can and I preserve and I do all that stuff. I'm also an astrophysicist, so I talk about science topics. So I can talk about all kinds of stuff, anything from weather to astronomy to why blue morpho butterflies are not really blue, they just look blue. And then last but not least, I talk about my farm. I live on my family farm, and I raise cattle and horses and have rabbits and chickens, and I also have a rescue herd of miniature horses and miniature donkeys and 14 dogs and 5 cats. So if you hear noises in the background, that's what you're hearing.
That's the
key. I'm going to live with her.
Yes. But that's why I'm here tonight is because you were kind enough to let me come on and talk about a really cool event that's coming up on Labor Day weekend here in Arkansas, because we are in Arkansas.
Yep.
In the foothills of the Ozark Mountains, which is a beautiful part of the world, in my opinion. On Labor Day weekend, we have an event at the Escape Ranch. It's called Pagan Fest, and the people who own Escape Ranch and Wellness Center are putting this on. It's a 3-day event. It starts at noon on Friday, and it runs through 10 p.m. Sunday night on the weekend of Labor Day.
Yep.
And some of the VIPs that will be there, for those of you who were at Mystic South, Mama Gina and Louis Garreau is going to be there, and also Selena Fox and Celia Ferran is going to be there.
Nice.
So it's
awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. So it starts with an opening ritual at noon on Friday. Now, the cost for the weekend is $60, and $60 includes your camping, a breakfast, and a dinner.
Yeah,
lunch is on your own. Yeah, I thought that's a pretty good deal. They will have a kitchen open there. Now, they will be serving food at lunch and beverages and snacks and things that you can purchase throughout the day. The camping, like I said, is available. If you don't want to camp, there are hotels, but they're about a 25-minute drive away, and there also are other dining options that you can drive into town to go to. If you go to their website, which is theescaperanch.com, and look up Pagan Fest, all the information is there. They've got all the information about affordable hotels. There's also an RV camping area about 25 minutes away if you don't want to tent camp. But it's going to be a really good weekend. There's workshops, there's rituals, there's music every night. There's like a open mic night, kind of like in Mystic South. There is going to be just hanging out by the fire pit after the concerts are over. They have a soft spot in my heart because they kind of run a animal rescue like I do. So they've also got their animals up there. But they really do a lot of good work. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I wish I could go.
I know. I think it's going to be a great event. I'm just trying to help them raise awareness of it, you know, just to help them out. But they've got a lot of other cool events that go on through the year. If you follow their Facebook page, it's the Escape Ranch Alternative Healing Center on Facebook. And then if you go to their website, you can find out more about Pagan Fest. Now, I will tell you this. She is still looking for vendors also, and your vendor fee also covers your weekend fee. So if you pay your vendor fee, that gets your dinner and breakfast and camping and all that.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds nice. You need a road trip.
If you send me the link or send my sister the link, we'll share it on our show page.
Okay, I'll do that. Just to give you an idea of some of the workshops that are going to be going on, let me quickly just tell you a little bit about that. There's going to be a workshop about paganism in the 21st century, which I think we all need to listen to, you know, because definitely we're going to be playing a bigger role in the world as we move forward, I think. There's going to be a one on home blessing magic. There's also going to be one on weather lore. I don't know what crazy woman's doing that, but, you know.
I love it.
So,
awesome.
there's music every night. Like I said, there's hanging out around the fire. We'll have dinner together. It should be a really great weekend. So I think it's going to be fun. Now, it's $60 for the weekend, but if you just want to come for a single day, you can buy day passes for $20, which gets you the dinner and the concert and all that stuff is part of that.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, and then the kids, there'll be kids activities. You know, if you want to bring your kids, she's doing, they're going to be kids activities, including things like, you know, good old fashioned sack races and face painting and all that kind of good stuff. I know at least a couple of the vendors that are going to be there should be really cool. One of my really good friends is going to be there who is an artist, and she does great paintings. I have, and they're very affordable. I have several of her pieces in my house. So, I'm going to be there, so I'm excited.
That sounds great.
I appreciate y'all letting me come on here and talk about it, because I think it's a great resource for us here in Arkansas. You know, it's been kind of, you know, I've lived here for 13 years, and I really haven't found a community, and finding this place has really helped me a bunch. So it's a great resource for us here in the state, and I want to help them raise their profile. So you can contact Gypsy. She's the one, not our Gypsy from Mystic South, but Gypsy from the Escape Ranch. And she'll give you all the details. So just find their website or go to their Facebook page, and I'll send y'all all that information. But I'm actually headed up there in a little bit to go to Full Moon, so I'll send it to you when I get back.
Oh, that's great. Deborah, we're gonna have you back on next month, too, to promote it again before the event.
Okay, that'll be great. I would love that. I like to talk sometimes.
And we love when you talk.
I appreciate
new things.
Yes. So that is true. I try to at least be educational, if not entertaining.
Now, you're a fantastic teacher, and you don't make everybody in the room feel stupid, which is really cool, because what you talk about is pretty extensive stuff and fairly detailed, and not everybody has a mind for science, you know, and you break it down so that even I can understand it. So,
well, I think everyone can appreciate science. I don't understand it on the level of, you know, people like Einstein, but everybody can appreciate science on some level, and I'm sort of the science evangelist, right, among other things.
Well,
I sure appreciate y'all, and I miss y'all, and I can't wait to see y'all again.
Me too. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank y'all for letting me. I'll talk to y'all soon.
All right.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye.
I love her.
I do.
She's
too.
A trip. She's a trip. She's just so creative the way she puts her classes together. And, you know, you walk out of the room with actual knowledge where you can look at the sky and say, I know what that is. I know what that is. I know what that is. This is this type of cloud. That's that type of cloud. She's just phenomenal. If you ever get to take one of her workshops, she's really an incredible, incredible teacher and just one of the kindest souls I know. So we love Deborah Burris so much, and we're honored to have her as a friend. But, yeah, man, Arkansas, that's pretty cool, man. I like knowing that they're doing that. You know?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm actually posting it right now because I looked it up while we were talking.
Oh, cool. You're great. My sister is so awesome. She's amazing.
Well, thanks. I get it from you.
Yeah, you got some of it on your own, kiddo. that's fantastic. So look for that on our page. The Escape Ranch, it sounds like a place we want to go. Not that I can get to Dover, Arkansas anytime soon with my work schedule or you with your sis, but Yeah. Hey, you never know. One day we might be able to figure out how long it'll take us to drive there and actually do this thing. That'd be fun, actually.
No,
My only problem is getting my ass up and down from a cold dirt ground where we would be sleeping, because I'm kind of old now and I can't do camping like I used to. There is an air mattress in my future if we actually start doing some of this shit.
Oh, I've got one that's got its own bag and it pumps itself. We're good.
All right. Yeah, but you need electricity to get it, you know, blown up, right?
Ah, shit. Oh, actually, Ash got some kind of a battery charger. I don't know if it has, like, a spot for a plug-in, though. But I'll have to look into that. I'll have to check that out when I go back downstairs. Because I just thought about that. It's like, interesting.
You know what? Hey, I got to actually look. I have something called a halo. And this particular halo, it's called a halo. I brought it with us to Mystic South. And what it is it actually will jump a car battery, but this particular model that I have does not have an outlet for a plug. But my understanding is that there are some that do have a plug, so maybe I could look into that in the future. Also, this thing has two USB ports, and if there's an adapter for the air mattress, we might be able to use this to blow it up. So that's something worth investigating, because like I said, as much as I love camping, and I actually do really like camping, I'm better at glamping than camping these days, because, you know, at almost 57 years old, the bones don't want to behave like they used to. You know what I mean.
No. Oh, I do. I do. Like, that's fun. Yeah, sitting down on the floor for a minute and then, like, takes you 10 to get back up. Yeah.
It takes, like, 4 or 5 people to get me up off the ground. I'm just saying. It's not as easy as it used to be. But, yeah, you know. So, but that whole, if you take a look at their website, and Sis has posted it on our page, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah. I would love to. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was looking something up. It is, let's see, 692 miles, or 92.3 miles.
Oh.
So, let's see.
Quite the drive. That's quite the drive. That's like 10 hours.
Yeah, we would have to go all the way across Tennessee.
Yeah, we would have to go all the way across Tennessee, which means, you know what that means? Does that intersect anywhere with Nashville, the route?
You know what? I don't know, but...
Because I will tell you, if it intersects, it doesn't.
No, it goes through Chattanooga and Memphis.
Because where I would want to take you is the Parthenon.
Yeah.
They have a replica of the Parthenon in Nashville, Tennessee, and I got to see it six years ago at this point. And
yeah, I remember.
It is phenomenal. The Statue of Athena is just, it's mind-blowing how big the statue is. Right there in the middle of Nashville, Tennessee. I love it. But, yeah, you know, one day, when we have time, we have to plan a big old road trip around the country to see all our pagan friends.
Yes.
Do a bunch of festivals. It would be so much fun.
I think that would be fantastic.
Yep. Something to look forward to, sis.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Sorry, I'll stop singing.
Yes. So anyway, with it being the full blood moon, you know, I saw on Facebook a lot of people talking about what kind of ritual are you doing for the full blood moon lunar eclipse? And I'm like, I'm going to do my podcast and fall asleep in my recliner. That's what I'm going to do. But honestly, I've got flowers out. I've got honey out. I've got booze out. Not for me, for the gods.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. I've got the candle lit. I've got the sage going, and just, putting out as many blessings as humanly possible, protecting folks, wishing them, good starts on new things and helping people sweep away bad shit from the past, like we do whenever we have an energy surge, you hold tight and you try to. And that's really the best of it, just harness some of that power, direct it as well as you can into what you're doing for more success. Sometimes when everybody else's communication is off and you're the only one in the room who can make sense of everyone, they kind of look at you like you know what you're doing. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Not a want to have. That's what I'm saying.
No.
So I'm hoping everybody gets through it safely and with as little stress as humanly possible, because it's been a bit of a stressful time. When I'm talking to my mundane friends, they're like, when is this shit going to end? Everything's been a fucking nightmare. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It just seems to go on and on.
Well, this year's kind of shifted from one nightmare to another, so.
Yeah.
Because we've had so many things in retrograde. It's like, okay, first we're going to fuck with your love life. Then we're going to fuck with your money some. And then we're just going to fuck with everything you say and try to touch.
Yeah.
So, that's always exciting.
Yep. Bubble wrap suit is in order.
Yeah. So is our next guest in the queue yet?
Not yet. Jade, where are you at? Oh, you have to say the magic words.
Oh, right. Well, I have to say some magic words. That is correct.
Yep.
Shit tits, cocksucker, motherfucker, balls.
That is the
intro. For those of you who don't know, that is the intro, the official intro that I give for Jade Sol Luna. I don't remember how we got started on that, but that is the official greeting. So, Jade, if you are within the sound of my voice, you have been summoned, my dear.
I told you. There he is. Hold on a second.
There it is.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey,
doing
honey.
Good. How are you doing?
Happy
See,
eclipse.
I told you the magic words worked.
Happy eclipse, babe.
What have you guys been up to?
Oh,
so good.
Work.
What's your idea
How
of up to no
been?
Good?
Yeah, we're always up to no good.
Yeah, I guess that's what witches do, I guess.
Yeah.
So we have
been?
An eclipse going on. I've been doing well, just been, busy. Just, it's probably one of the busiest phases I've been in a long time. But it's been productive and as I say, there's nothing else to do. People ask me why I do all these various things, and I'm like, well, there's really nothing else to do. This is the way I like to spend my time, and it really is not more important than that. These are just, I just like having a lifestyle like this, and so it's fun. But it's been very busy, and I've dealt with in the midst of all this stuff, I've dealt with just a tremendous amount of trauma with clients. You know, it's like, you guys know, the guy who wrote my the ghostwriter of my books passed on. One of my closest musician friends passed on. It's been a lot of that, and everyone seems to be going through things like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of whacked out stuff happening, a lot of emotional stuff happening. Some of the stuff is typical with, you know, retrograde miscommunications. Today was a beast of a day for me. With people just being so emotional and so needy and argumentative at the same time. It's just really like a cluster of fucks.
That is an interesting, you know, combination of energies that I've experienced the exact same thing as that. People really wanting my involvement, but also wanting me involved so they can slightly use you as a punching bag. But they want you there for
that. Yes.
Yeah. I've had, yesterday might have been one of the most interesting days I've ever had. I've had this very strange experience where we're having a lot of people who run spiritual businesses have their businesses shut down in the last like 5 or 6 months. And it's been incredibly difficult for a lot of people going, you know, here we have like a Donald Trump president. Here we have all this like chaos going on the planet. Meanwhile, here I am doing what is good and wholesome and running like a health food store or a spiritual store, and the universe is not supporting anything like this at all. And I've been having a lot of people like that. And then people being really mad at me because I'm not having that experience. And it's just been a mixture of things. And also at the same time, I have never, ever had as many people leaning on me for energy as I've had right now. I've never had anything like it.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange. People want you there, and then it's as though they wish they hadn't asked you for help, but they're glad they did, because otherwise they'd still be in the same condition they were in before they asked for the help.
Yeah. I mean, one of my clients on the East Coast, you know, she was initiated by Native Americans. And she's got several books out. I can't mention her name because a lot of people know her in the spiritual world, especially on the East Coast, and is living in a hotel room. And went from being someone that made a lot of money to not now, you know, and I don't want to get weird with people, but I really am, you know, I am just staunchly against manifesting. And I am continually watching people that are manifestors just get shut down. And the reason behind that is we do not get to control the universe. We just don't. And I think if we even try to exercise that type of might over it, it then has a karmic response to shut us down. And the, you know, I was asked yesterday on a few different occasions, like, why do you think this is happening to me? You know, it was a very strange experience of having one of my clients runs a big yoga center, Kundalini Center in Hawaii. And it just shut down. And I went from that to her literally keeping me on the phone just to kind of, why is this going on to me? I've done nothing but good. I've been doing nothing that. And all of a sudden, in midway through, I'm like, we need to look at your shadow here. We need to look at the other part of you that you seem to be avoiding, because she was going into this very dark, dark place with me. Like going, you know, now I'm like, fuck the universe. You know, you're not going to help my business. You know, you're not going to do any of these things that I've been manifesting, anything I've been doing, you're working out against me. And now I'm feeling like this incredibly negative person. And 2 months ago, I was incredibly positive. I'm like, well, then let's get really negative for a while. Let's get really negative. And then she really said, I don't want to go there because I'm afraid, her exact words were, I'm afraid there's a boogeyman there. I'm like, oh, let's go find that boogeyman. Let's go there, because that's why this is happening. Because if we don't find that person, then you're never going to succeed in anything, because that is our shadow self right there. And, you know, a lot of people kind of forget we are only here to realize ourselves. We're not here for any purposes. If the universe believes that what it's giving you is contributing to your evolution, it will allow it to happen. If it doesn't see it, it's going to take it away. We are here to know ourselves. And so I said, let's hop into that boogeyman. And I'm like, you know, just real quickly, tell me what it looks like. And she's like, I'm afraid that it's suicidal. I'm afraid it could actually hurt other people. And I'm like, well, so what we have here is a spiritual path you've created to avoid that person. So
right.
Now let's reverse it. Forget about your business. Let's go find that person. Let's go work with that energy. This is where I call the Kali Hecate energy. This is where it's at. So let's go in there now. And so now we're having a reversal. We're going to be doing a bunch of readings about darkness for her. And you know what I know is interesting? I am 100% certain if she gets this, her business goes back on track. 100% certain. Because she is at a stage where when you work with one energy for so long, you absolutely have to swing back in the other direction. And that's what
right.
the karmic law thing is, and that's why Buddha said, if you want the fastest path, stay in the middle. Just have a channel for your light, have a channel for your dark, have a little bit there, stay balanced in the middle. It's faster than going one way or the other. Some of these people that have been working through just white light and things like that are now going to be swinging in this other way, but they're not going to know how to deal with it. They have no idea how to deal with these types of things because they've been taught to refrain from that part of themselves or to even judge that part of themselves, which is really what it's all about for her. I really don't think we're going to go into anything other than her judging who she actually really has been.
Wow.
But so it went from that phone call right into the lady in New York who, you know, has had a business mm-hmm. for 25 years, has been on a New York bestsellers list, name it, and is
yeah.
literally living in a hotel room. And she's one of the number one teachers of manifesting on this earth, number one. And so it makes total sense to me that that's where she belongs right now. We don't get to control this thing. And if you exercise too much control over it, it has to reverse all of this on you. And so
mm-hmm.
real manifesting is intent, put it out there, and then let it go. Every single day I wake up with my career in astrology, my career in music, I say the same thing. Hecate, if you want this, let's go do this. If you don't want it, take it away now. This is yours. None of this stuff is mine. This is all yours. If you like it, let's do it. If you don't like it, let's just take it out. And every day is like that, and I have full trust that she knows what is right and I don't. The idea that we know what is right for us, if you can't see your end game, if you can't see it, you don't know what's right for you. And you have to trust that force of that universe does. And so the real manifesting to me is letting the universe do it for you. And how you do it for you is let it control the results. I do have things I want to do. And I'm not a hypocrite when I'm saying I do ask for things. So I want to be clear about that. But when I ask
right.
for something, I say, if you want it, let's do it. If you don't, let's get rid of it. And let you. And she's gotten rid of a lot more than she's given. When I look at my life right now, it's kind of interesting to see what she's let happen and what
right.
she hasn't let happen. You know, I mean, I was up for TV shows with Asterian Astrology. I was up for all kinds of things that were happening that just got collapsed. I mean, the amount of things
wow.
I've had fail in amount to how many things I've had succeed. I think if people were here, how many no's to how many yeses, I think, you know, people would have a different understanding of what I've personally been through. But she's taken away more than she's given, that's for sure.
That's interesting. See, because I always have the idea that it's okay, like you said, because I ask for things too, but you also have to ride with whatever energy you're given after you make that request. You may be able to still get the things you've asked for, but significant changes often have to come with it. So it may feel in the immediate as though, you know, the universe doesn't want you to have a certain thing, when actually what's happening is they are making it so that the condition is more appropriate than it currently is. That's what I'm finding is happening right now. But you had said, you know, months and months ago that we were in for quite the wild ride this year. And, you were not fucking around, my friend. It has definitely been that.
What is so amazing is to say something like that and still have no clue of how bad that was going. There's days where my nightly ritual is when I get off work just to pop on CNN for 30 minutes. CNN is my new reality show because my job in astrology is so, the energy of it is so high that when I get off work, I have to watch something to ground my mind and just kind of reconnect back to the planet. And I used to have reality shows for that, whether it was literally, you know, New Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever. I've always had something just to kind of, that had like no meaning, to kind of pull me back down into this world. Oh, it's CNN now. I don't even bother with reality shows. I just go pop on CNN. Has all the drama I need, and I'm almost always in agreement with CNN about everything, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And but anyways, it's my, I just see it as my new reality show, you know. But it's a, I didn't know it was going to be as crazy as it is, and so utterly bizarre. It's like this year has been for me just completely surreal on what it's handed me. And also the level of conflict that has just come with everything. I mean, it's like the job as an astrologer, you guys have dealt with this with me forever. It is just constantly, it's evolving at a rate I haven't experienced yet. I'm dealing with clients that, I mean, I literally feel so thankful for the types of clients I'm dealing with right now. It's like, it's amazing. I'm here in Hollywood working with some of the people I'm working with. But it's just always filled with conflict. Yeah. But what Luna 13's doing and the conflict that goes on there has actually trumped what I've been dealing with in astrology. And it's just been like all these successes. If you were to see the drama on a, like Luna 13 is its own reality show now, and I really wish that we filmed a lot of this like drama. It is like this band is in Los Angeles like slaughtering other bands, and it's just a guy and a chick, you know, and it's just like what we're doing is just between her and I. We are the source of constant conflict in the city, and we've destroyed other bands for no reason. Bands that were around quitting because we've done this, and it's just been this crazy experience of just watching whatever I do just creates so much, you know, turmoil for other people, one way or the other. And it's a mixture of learning how to be strong in yourself and also a mixture of being sad for people, because I just think that there's a confidence that I have in the mother that I cannot explain. It's unwavering. And I believe whatever happens in my world that's positive comes from just this confidence I have in her, that she is running this damn show. And this is 100% my mother. I have no doubt about that. And she's going to give me what I need and what I don't. And that's just, and that confidence in that is so strong. All of these things can be pulled from underneath my feet at any point, and I still will have full faith that she did the right thing for me. Where, you know, this lady on the phone the other day lived in a hotel room, the exact opposite was going on. I have, by the way, lived in a trailer before. I have had my business slow down in my past and moved into very small spaces. Interesting to note that I always stayed doing this. I wasn't the type to say, oh, I'm not succeeding in this, so I'm going to go do something else. I was always the type to ride the wave of wherever that was going. And if I needed to move into a trailer in Arizona, this was my profession. This is what I do. I didn't go leave it where other people I'm watching now, when the money gets tight, they leave. I would adjust my surrounding and go and keep the profession and just adjust my surroundings and go with it. But I watch other people don't do that. They don't do it, which leads me to believe I don't think a lot of it is real for people. You know?
Well, there's a difference between a calling and a profession, Jay.
Yeah, I believe that.
And what you're doing is more of a calling than a profession. I mean, it's a profession too, don't get me wrong, but it's something you were also called to do. A lot of people wind up where they are by just happenstance, it seems. You know, you wind up in a job and you wind up staying for 30 years, which is, you know, back in our parents' day was the norm. So people were taught that stability is very important, but stability is actually stagnation, which
true.
Is something that you, which is something you know a whole lot about.
True.
You know, so there is a difference. There will be businesses that fail. There will be people that fail at their businesses and move on to something else, because it's not a calling. It's a business. Very different.
It's true, and I have to agree with that because of the fact that I have never advertised my astrology career, ever. I have a website, and I have social media things, but it those things have come up in the social media era, and I was as busy before it as I am now. and my website, my all these various things that I do, do not contribute ever to my success or to me getting more clients. It is word of mouth. In Los Angeles, you come to Los Angeles, you start talking about astrologers, everybody knows who I am because I've been here for so long. And it's just the word of mouth, and I just watch it kind of spread around like that. But I the job happened without my desire for it, which goes back to something my teacher had always said in India. He said, don't attach to anything because attachment ruins everything. He said, the things that you are not attached to in your life work perfectly, and the things that you're attached to don't work at all. So don't attach to anything, and you get whatever your heart really desires. And this was the one career that it's even upset other people as of lately, some of these conversations with people in the spiritual world, because I've had such a really good job as an astrologer, yet I am also the type that could be like, I could take it or leave it. You know, it's like, I love doing this. The reason is, and I have to be very clear about it, that's the job of being a reader. It's not being an astrologer. Astrology is my religion. I believe in it. I believe these planets are different faces of the Divine Mother. And which the opportunity is coming up through Lunar 13, that I will have moments in my life completely detached from the giving readings process. And when that happens, astrology then goes right into the category of being my spiritual path, it's not about giving readings anymore. It's about me living in its will. And I've watched that happen over and over again, where I actually sometimes enjoy the act of not giving readings, because then I get to personalize this science all over again. And see what it means to me. Like, when it comes to Luna 13, I'm always looking at my own chart, looking at alignments, seeing my relationship to astrology, how, the moon is in this star tonight, we're playing this night. What's going to be the outcome of this show tonight? Because this is the moon, this is the face of divine, Mother Hecate that's active. Oh, that was a bad show, that was horrible. Okay, so next time that star comes around, probably going to be a bad show, and this star comes around, another bad show. But you get to see your relationship with the divine. Now, when I'm giving readings, I only deal with people. It's like I don't even really deal with the science. It's there, and it's in front of me like a map. But my personal connection to it isn't nearly as strong when I'm giving readings to people as it is when I'm detached from that part and focused on other things. Then it shows me how powerful the science is in my religious mind. I don't think there's anything – as we get older, we just kind of go, things worked. Some things didn't work. We kind of just start to revolve around the things that worked in our life, and the things that didn't work, we start to get rid of. And that's one of the great things about getting older, is you just kind of like remove the things that are just a waste of your time, because you don't have time anymore to deal with shit that doesn't matter. It's interesting to note that in my spiritual path, and for someone who's slept in coffins for years, lived in India, name it, I've done it, to see astrology stay number one. Of all the things that worked and all the things that really were systematically spiritually powerful. India, I have to go a little bit higher than that, but it was in India that I found this particular system of astrology, so I have to add this to it. But the Divine Mother and astrology might be the only two things that stick in the end, because they work. They work for me. I have a soul identification with those two things that I know will sustain in other lifetimes. I know I'll be involved in those things. And what has been so amazing about music lately is the evolution of Lunar 13 is as such that now the full spiritual element is coming through. And what I am on a personality level, like we talk about spirituality, and what I've learned in India, I get to give my clients and I get to give the people that I know. But there's a big possibility that the people I knew from a spiritual standpoint could meet me after work and go, wow, I don't like him at all. And I liked what he did in the readings, and I love the readings that he gave me, but I just met him after work, and I actually don't know if I like that guy very much. Luna 13 is my opportunity to express that person. If I died without doing Luna 13, there would be a real chance that no one knew me. Real chance. And so now I have always been incredibly fond of darkness. I've always realized its wisdom. There is a satanic element to my nature. There's that part that is against everything. I have this part that is just naturally against things. I like to go against things to find what is real and what's not. I have had personal spiritual experiences since I was a child of things that were dark in nature, and those things bring happiness to me, not feelings of violence or evil. They bring very peaceful, like looking at a Halloween card and you see a cat and a witch and a pumpkin floating through the stars. Those things make me happy by pure nature. I don't even think I chose to be what I am. I think I just am becoming that. I'm comforted by darkness. I love darker things. There's an adversarial personality. I get to now express that. And then people have an option through that of going, maybe I wouldn't like him as much as I thought. But it doesn't mean the style of music, by the way. Someone can listen to that and not like the sound, but it's an energy that now comes off of it. There's now an energy that just comes off of it, and it's that energy that's under the surface of the sound that I now can go, oh, my God, my personality is fully in display right now. It's pissing Christians off. The amount of people that are, you know, Christians that are, please come to Christ now. We get this on a day-to-day basis. We're advertising in a Christian magazine as watch out for these scary beings. I'm like, oh,
wow.
My God, I'm officially being seen. Oh, I feel I'm coming out now. It's like Luna 13 was me coming out of the closet and saying, guess what? I'm actually dark. And I love dark shit, and it's stuff that's brought joy to me, not maliciousness or not violence. I love this stuff. And I think that real people connected to these things are more genuine and a little bit sweeter than the people that are just focused on light. And the more people we meet like that, the more in agreement I am. But that is one thing that I feel a satisfaction in my life right now is going, okay, Luna 13's out, means my personality's out there officially. And now people can decide whether they would like me or not. And again, it's not about the sound. It's about an energy that comes off of it.
Well, we like
you. Do you find that to be a relief, Jade?
Oh, my God. And the universe rewarded me because there was a concern that this was going to hurt my business. And it was, okay, this is where the real dilemma was coming out, you know, and you guys heard me talk like this before. There was a real dilemma of going, okay, I'm going to do this because this is a part of me that no one knows. It's my personality, where my astrology business and those things are the spiritual path I've been on. But it's produced this awakening of a darker energy in me that is now expressed. And the relief was so important, but also it was interesting to see my business like quadruple from it as an astrologer.
Yeah.
It was like, no, we're not going to take that away. We've been wanting this for a while. And it was one of these things I was like, I was one disappointment I had, and this is something that a lot of people would even feel much greater than me. I was a little bit disappointed that it took me that long. Someone that has talked about, and here's one of my, you know, challenges. Someone that's talked about overcoming fear as long as I have, which has been focused on death. And that's really the thing I've been focused on. But it should be able to be used in very personal human ways. But for someone to talk that long about overcoming fear, and I just came out right now, and that bothered me when I did it. But I didn't know that. I didn't really know that was going on. But there was a disappointment that I didn't do that earlier, that it took me that long. And for someone to talk so long about overcoming fear, we're now, what, coming out now? It's like, really? It's like, that you've been talking about this forever. But that was, I had some moments of going, I kind of should have done this earlier. But I was a little bit nervous because I've had such luck in my career. I didn't want to ever mess it up. But all the way down to, like, you know, Baphomet tattoos on my arm, which are sometimes visible when I'm giving readings, and I'm like, you know, and then I have now a ram tattooed on my neck, a ram skull that looks like a devil on my neck. And it's just like all these things that I was worried about of really coming out, I've watched people come and leave and have the exact opposite experience of going, oh, that guy's kind of cool. He's got tattoos too, you know. I have had people come, and I've had a couple people respond opposite the way I'm talking about. There was one of my clients showed up early on a night that we had a show, and Carolyn was all dressed up in her Lilith stuff, and my client showed up early, and Carolyn answered the door thinking someone was dropping off groceries, and that client was like, what in the hell is going on here? And she, I don't know if she will come back or not. But that's one out of many, many that just were more responsive from a positive perspective than a negative. So it's been an interesting thing. You know, my teacher always said, when you become who you are, it's always a coming out party. It doesn't matter what it is, it is coming out because a lot of people are not going to like it. And real coming out is being open to the idea that you're not going to be liked. And so, so here we are.
Anytime you express your true self, you run a huge risk. if you consider it a risk. I don't know that everybody would necessarily consider it a risk. I guess most people would. But, you know, that kind of freedom when you can finally be who you are, whatever that means for you, has got to be a really liberating experience, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, we have this video coming out tomorrow. And you don't have to watch it, because to me there have been a few things that I've done in my lifetime that after my time comes to leave this earth that I've always felt happy were going to be out there. My very first book, Hecate, was one of them. The astrology books don't register for this, and the reason being is because the art of being an astrologer and giving readings has been so profound it's overshadowed my books and stuff like that. But it definitely my first book on Hecate, because that was a big move for me. Then that cartoon, Hecate, Queen of Witches. I love that. I really, my like actual dreams that I had when I was a child that let me know that I was on some different path that was unique, those dreams are in that. And a part of me is in that. I sculpted a lot of that 13-minute, you know, video. That was really, I think, a high point for me, and I like the fact it's going to be floating around for a long, long time. And then Luna 13, where it's at today, right now. Not so much the last few releases. Not that I'm against those releases. There was something that happened creatively in my ability to fully open and be myself that's on this next release. And the video that's coming out with it, if you look at the imagery in it, and if you ever go back and look at the CDs that I created as Jade Soluna, like my chanting CDs, you go look at the covers that I picked, and you can see that right now it just all came to life, and that's where Lilith, Carolyn, comes into play as kind of a muse type of energy. And if you go back and look at all the CD covers and all the different energies I put out there through chanting CDs, you can see that it's reached its peak right now. And this release we have coming out has that energy of going, wow, that's an interesting thing that, you know, when the time comes, you're going to be leaving that behind. And that is one of those things where you are going to be happy that's out there, because, again, it's such a part of your personality. That first book on Hecate, the cartoon on Hecate, I love that cartoon. And even though people said that it's, you know, not accurate to certain things, it doesn't matter. My essence was in that. My dreams I had as a kid were in that. And then this particular release, and even this video that's coming out, it's like, okay. And this video is coming out. This is going to crack you guys up. I don't remember when I used to live in Wrightwood, California. Wrightwood, California, is I lived for several years. And even when I was interacting with you guys for like the very first time, I was living up there in the mountains. And I don't know if you guys remember, I was ran out of that city. And it's, I love that place. The energy there is really charged, but I had –
it really is.
I had done these spiritual practices out in the wilderness, and I would use a lot of bones. I would use a lot of animals, and I would. I'm a big animal lover, so I don't ever harm animals. But there were certain practices I had done that required the death of an animal, and so I would go find animals that died on the side of the road. I'll put it that way. And I would bring them into the tree, and I had this tree that was like filled with bones and animals. It was like, and so it was in this hidden area, and I lived in Wrightwood, and I had this amazing house where I would have this trail to where this tree was, and I would take my skull out there, and there'd just be a tree just filled with bones. I literally even strung with fishing line bones hanging off the branches. I mean, it was for some people, it'd be one of the scariest things I've ever seen. And there was real animal carcasses there. Never harmed any of them. They're all animals that I found on the side of the road that were hit by cars that even honored and put them in those areas. But I had someone one day walk back to my backyard when I was meditating under this tree and see me with a human skull under a tree filled with bones. And they ran back and told people in the city that we got a really intense devil worshiper here. And so the city, which only has about 700 people in it, it just spread throughout the city that there was a devil worshiper, and a very scary one, if that. I was living in a coffin at that time. This is when I was sleeping in the coffin. My life was so dark and so much embracing of the Kali energy. It was, I mean, I had a few events take place. This was one of them. And so when I would go shopping in the city, if someone working at a register saw me coming, they would go lock the door real quick.
Wow.
And so I had learned how to walk into the grocery store by walking in through the side of it where I couldn't be seen, so I could squeak in without someone closing the door on me. And this went on for a while. And when I had a little group, a coven of people up there in Wrightwood that I used to work with, I initiated a bunch of people into Wicca back at this time, and it was when I was just really on that type of a journey. But eventually the closing of doors on me became so significant, I eventually had to leave the city. And so I left the city, then I moved here in Los Angeles, and then my life in Los Angeles began right after that. So we shot this video where that tree was. And in my way, it was kind of my FU to the city that we're going to immortalize this city and this location by having this video go. It's going to have 100 to 200,000, you know, views, and it's going to go out there. So it was kind of my way of claiming that space that I was in. So where this video is shot is just a short, short distance away from that tree. We couldn't make it to the tree to shoot, which I wanted to shoot it kind of near that tree. We couldn't make it out there because there was just too much equipment, and it was on a slope, and no one really wanted to do that journey. But it's right underneath that area. So where this whole video is shot is right there. And so it was fun for me to kind of immortalize my experience in that city with this video, which is perfect for what people's minds were thinking, what was going on when they see the video right where they're like, oh, we knew it. We knew it. Something evil was going on there. But it's been fun, you know, and it was just a creative thing to do. And you know, as you kind of get older, you're just kind of realizing there's not really a lot of other things to do. Mm-hmm. I just find that creating and kind of working on my spiritual path and then creating, it's the only two things that really kind of pique my interest, because as you start to get older, you become very clear of the things you want to do and the things you don't, because you don't want to waste your time anymore with doing things you don't want to do.
Yep.
So, I don't know, it's just fun. You know, it is fun, but at the same time, I can feel with this upcoming release that another part of my spirit came out. And I have never, and you guys might have had this experience, this was my first time as a musician where I created music where I felt my spirit in it, 100%, where when I was writing a song, I would actually feel a part of my essence go into the song. And I'd never had that experience in my life ever as a musician, ever. Not even when I was playing sitar did I have, like, I felt like Hecate would grab a chunk of me and just kind of throw it into the song. And even our record label had a totally different experience listening to this than they did our other stuff. I mean, they didn't say they didn't like our other stuff. They're like, you know, it was good, but this stuff, this is like on a whole other level, and not much is different other than it than the fact that I felt some spiritual link into it. And the video that you'll see tomorrow is pretty much putting that energy on full display, and it's just kind of fun when you're expressing your core. You can feel the power in just expressing your core, but you also realize how hard it is to express your core and how few people are actually expressing their core personality.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people searching. A lot of people not searching. Jade, a lot of people are just asleep and permanently asleep.
Yep. It's, you know, a conversation I had before this before popping on to the show was exactly that. You know, the question to me was, you know, we did this meditation, you know, to kind of awaken people, and we've been doing this for like years. Why isn't it working? I'm like, because it's not supposed to work. Everybody's on a different stage of evolution. You cannot force someone to wake up. It's life experience.
Yeah.
That wakes someone up. It's just life experience. This is the reason why trauma is so important. I hate using those terms because I don't want to invite trauma into anyone's life, including my own, but it is the only thing that really permanently shifts someone into a different way of being. And so then you see, you know, in when I was living in India, they would call Kali the nightmare. They would call her the actual nightmare, and they also called her the awakener of nightmares. And I didn't know, I love those terms, and so I was fascinated by the fact I was chanting, you are the eternal nightmare. But now I understand the importance of the nightmare. You've heard me say it on this show many times, but you realize that people only wake up through trauma. There are spiritual ways you can wake up that are easier, but very few people in the world are going to choose that route, so then trauma becomes the mean of some permanent change. Mm-hmm. And people force these traumatic experiences so they can change on a subconscious level, even though they never see it that way. The traumas that people go through in their life, I believe the person is seeking. I believe that because we want our heart to just open. We want this heart just fully blown open. And unfortunately, trauma can do that. It can blow your heart open. And with mm-hmm. that comes longing, pain, and all these other uncomfortable things. But you see how it's a karmic necessity to kind of deal with trauma. You know, so Kali in India was associated with the nightmare. She was the one that went out there and made certain people were struggling. And this is why in India you'll hear some people go, Kali is God. They even go in other villages, we're like, keep that girl out of my house. There are two mm-hmm. different philosophies between North and South India, definitely. And you go into South India, and she's God. Kali is from Central to South India, she's God. You go to the North, they're like, in Bengal, which is North, she is God too. But you go to other places, then you see, you know, markings on walls to keep her out. But I believe the true understanding is in South India. Yes, she is those hardships. She can bring misfortune right into your world. Because she wants you to come home, and she knows if you're going to plant your feet here on earth, you're just going to stay here. You know, if you have an amazingly perfect life, when your time comes to pass, you're going to go, let's do that again. But if you have mm-hmm. these traumas in it, you're going to like, you know, I don't want to do that again. So let's consider moving upward as opposed to let's go back and do that again. So she becomes this liberating force that says, move forward. You don't want these things permanently, and the only way out is the other side. Earth has to be filled with these traumas so people keep awakening and someday desire to stay awake. So then you start to realize the necessity for struggling and trauma, but there was a belief with Kali worship that if you could find peace in death and trauma, then you would become wealthy and live an incredibly long life. You would then release those attentions inside of you. And then you have these goofy new agers going, oh, no, if you think about bad things, you're going to bring it into your life. And it's like, so since when does that ever happen? When has it happened that everybody that died in a plane crash could, you know what, let's die in a plane crash today. I can't wait to go do that. It's like no one does that. No one brings in these bad things because they wanted those things to come in. But yet there's people to believe that stuff. And it's like, oh, if your good thoughts create good actions. Look at the people running this fucking planet right now.
Yeah.
I mean, bad thoughts, you know, we live in the karma of what we created in our previous incarnations. And we have to surrender into that. And that's why in astrology they're called houses.
Yeah.
Houses are the karma that you built. And it's a karma you live in. You have a karmic house around you. And the only way out of that karmic house you built is acceptance of you. There's no other way out of it. You can't meditate your way out of it. You can't manifest your way out of it. It is, as a matter of fact, I believe that even can make those houses stronger and more difficult to get out. They're there because you created them. And the only way out is fully acceptance of what that is. And if someone's having a life where a bunch of horrific things are happening, at one point the person has to say, okay, I've created this karma. And the only way out is acknowledging that other side of your nature that can put you in those situations. I mean, it's sad to think that there's no such thing as a victim. There's no victim. Now, animals can be victims, and that's why animals should always be taken care of, 100%.
Right.
They have not created the karma that human beings have created. And that's why animals should be saved, trees should be nurtured, grown. Nature is innocent. Human beings are not. When you enter the human body, you have created a lot of those experiences through your own actions. And what you're, you know, think about how fast these damn lives go by. I mean,
holy shit.
It's a blink of an eye. I mean, we have these like this age number that just follows us around. It's like crazy watching that number follow us around. And realizing that time is just going to be gone at the blink of an eye here pretty soon. You know, it all moves by so quick and so fast that you can just tell that, you know, time is much different in the other world than it is here. You can tell. I mean, you can feel those types of energy shifting around where I find that the older I get, the more I remember my youth and things like that. The more I remember things I really couldn't remember when I was like in my teenage years. I remember stuff now. And it all feels like it happened yesterday. It all feels like, God, that felt like it was yesterday.
Fascinating. Damn.
I got to ask, too, because Sis had brought this up, I think it was a couple weeks ago. I mean, like, everything fucking went into retrograde. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, I understand enough about it that, I mean, I know it's been affecting us. I
oh,
mean,
yeah.
Is
no,
there going to be any
retrograde? We're now 5 planets retrograde right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's when we go back,
I mean,
and look at the things that were unresolved and bring them back to work on now. And so that's a lot of stuff we're bringing back to work on right now. Retrograde. And planets never move backwards, by the way. And planets
right.
always move forward. But the Earth shifts
yeah.
speed. And when the Earth shifts speeds, planets start looking like in the zodiac, they're moving backwards. It's funny about astrology. It's like it's such an amazing science. You know, right now, like the other night, Carol and I went to the beach at night, and it's so amazing that I have this easy ability to look up at the sky, and I can draw a horoscope. Literally draw out a full horoscope. I can show you where the constellations are. I can show
yeah.
you the planets moving through them. And you can see it with your physical eyes. I can cast a full horoscope. If the planet blows up and I have to cast horoscopes from observing the night sky, I can't believe I can do it, and it's so easy to do it. I could teach anyone to draw a horoscope out by looking at the night sky in a matter of like 2 or 3 months. It would take about 2 or 3 months, and that was about it. And to know that no Western astrologer can do that, it's so bizarre. All our evidence shows that we did that. All of it does. All the evidence is you can see star maps from Egypt. You can see star maps from Greece. You can see star maps from Babylonia. You can see them in India. And yet people believe in this Western nonsense. It's total not. No Western astrologer can take you out at night and look up the sky and do that one simple thing. Because if they did that, they'd go, why is there no match then? Between what I'm looking, what I'm reading, and what's up there in the sky, and then they can say, "Oh, wait
yeah.
a minute, we look at the relationship of the Earth to the Sun, not the Sun to the Earth." No, okay, fine, but the fact remains: our ancients looked up in the sky. That fact remains, and it is so. I did make one mistake when I was looking up in the sky. I got the wrong rising sign. I was like, "Damn, I missed the rising sign by a sign. Damn it, I need to go back." It's kind of like riding a bike. There's certain things you have to freshen up all over again. But you can see. You could see Mars, which is brilliant right now. I mean, Mars looks like Jupiter. Jupiter is an easy planet to spot out at night because it's so bright. Mars
yeah.
is bigger. And this is funny. I mean, I was sleeping one night. Carolyn comes in like 4 in the morning. We go to bed like 3 o'clock. I slept for an hour. And she's like, Jade, there's a UFO. I need you to wake up and come see it.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, my God. And so now I don't know if you know, but there's been a lot of UFO sightings in Los Angeles lately, like a lot of them.
Yeah.
Crazy, like balls shooting around. And so she was just up looking at the sky, and she's like – and she was up on her own doing her own thing, and she was just looking out, you know, at the windows and looking at this big, bright, bright star that didn't really make sense. And Mars is so bright, it releases this kind of gassy energy where it looks like it's moving. Like it released something, it looks like it's moving. And she's looking at it going, you know what? That's a UFO. So she wakes me up and I go up there and look, and I'm like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, that is absolutely UFO. That is 100%
wow.
UFO. It's red, it's like beating. And the way the gas moves off of it, it looks like it's slightly hovering. And then I sat back, and then I found the constellation, which in L.A. is hard to do because the city lights don't allow you to see the stars. And so I had to piece together
yeah.
the stars. I said, oh, my God, that's Mars. Mars. Oh, my God, it's that bright. Unbelievable. And it turned out, and then I got the sky map out, and it's a planet Mars. But that is how weird Mars looks right now. And to turn out, she is not the only one that had thought it could have been a UFO. And because a lot of people are saying whatever's going on, like 4 in the morning in the Southwest, there's some incredibly bright planet there, and it looks very unusual. It's Mars. Mars is closer to the Earth right now than we've had in over 1,000 years.
Wow.
And we're feeling it, man. That energy, Mars is not a fun planet. And to be honest, if Mars moved as slow as Saturn did, he would be five times more destructive than Saturn. The reason why Saturn is more destructive is when he hits a planet, you can feel depressed for like 5 or 6 months with Saturn because he just sits there on top of your planet and moves so slowly. Mars, we get a difficult week from. We get a difficult week. He passes, he hits a planet, and boom, he moves on. If he stayed on one planet for like 5 or 6 months like Saturn does, I don't even think we'd be able to live through it. Mars is that much more destructive than Saturn is. And also, you know, even ancients in Rome, they didn't even believe Mars had any spiritual components. They believed he was the only planet that produced no spiritual components at all. I could not disagree with that more because one thing in spirituality we forget is how important endurance is. And Mars is there to teach people endurance. How to be strong when you don't feel good. It's kind of like the idea when you wake up and you feel like shit and you got company coming later and you're like, oh my God, the last thing I fucking feel like doing right now is entertaining people because I feel like crap. Mars, you know, but yet they come over and you kind of have to respond and act and deal with it. Mars is a planet when he's in action, you literally don't get any good feelings for about a week at all. None. And you have to learn to kind of handle people, and that's an endurance. To be nice to people when you don't feel like it and to make produce joy for other people when you don't feel like it. That's what Mars teaches people to do in him. And if he was around for as long as Saturn was, we'd be going through shit. But right now he's moving very slow. And when Mars goes retrograde, his movements are slow. So when he's hitting a planet, he's destroying it right now. And he's hitting people's planets.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
What planet is he destroying?
When he went retrograde, I think that was one of the strongest feelings of retrograde I think I felt. He went into Capricorn, and things were going pretty well for people. And then he went retrograde, and when he went retrograde, it put people out of business. I watched businesses just fall apart in a matter of like weeks because of Mars retrograde into Capricorn.
Damn. It's a rough bit of business.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how my astrology business is generally, it's affected. I'm not going to say that it's not, but it's interesting that it's not as affected as other things are. Like when Luna 13's on tour and stuff like that, I mean, Mercury retrogrades. Like we have two big shows coming next week. I mean, shows that really matter to us personally. And Mercury's going to be retrograde through both of them. The last show that we played at was in Phoenix when Mercury was retrograde. I can't remember when it was, like about 3 or 4 months ago. It was atrocious. It was one of the like worst Mercury retrogrades I think I've ever felt in my life. It was nonstop. It was so intense that I had to like govern, like really concentrate on making certain that whatever was going on didn't get any worse. Like literally on the way to the show, I left my gig bags on top of the roof of the car. And so I drive off, we get to the location, and I'm like, oh my God, where's our fucking equipment? And I'm like, oh, I left it on the top of the car. We rush back. We're in this time management. We rush back, and our stuff, thank God, was not destroyed, but was just strewn all over the place. We had to pack it, put it together, put it back in the car, rush back to the venue. When we're performing, our sound system, our music is so heavy. It's like you hear it on a phone. If you ever hear our music on a phone or you hear it on a computer, trust me, you've never heard Luna 13, ever. You have to put a nice sound system on. We have a bass that is so low, your computers can't pick it up. And it sounds really tinny and it sounds really trebly, but then you put it on a sound system, you're like, holy shit, they're awesome. You play it on your computer, you can go, I don't know, it's kind of tinny and kind of crackly. Go listen to it on a big system. So anyways, when we play live, some of the bass that I use, which is electronic bass, is so low, will annihilate a sound system if it's not a good one. We'll literally destroy it where it's gone. And so we get our clothes and all of our equipment together. We get back to the show. We start performing. Boom, we just blow the sound system in like 20 seconds.
Oh, no.
So half the speakers are working. The other half are shattered. The ones that are shattered are rumbling, like, because they've been snapped. And the sound guy forgets to put our lights on us. I mean, it's like one dreadful thing after the other. And then Carolyn loses her phone. After finding the phone, then in the process of finding the phone, I realized I left my keys somewhere, and now I can't find my keys. It was like this. I've never felt anything like it. Mercury retrogrades hit me hard. I've never been in a place where I had to sit down and go, this thing's kicking the crap out of me. Like, I have never been annihilated by a Mercury retrograde, and I'm hoping this one has a different mindset than the last one, because we have two of the biggest shows we've had in a very long time this weekend. And Mercury's retrograde, acting like a nut job already. And it's the great thing about being the conscious of a witch is we now have to figure out ways to govern and work within these energies, where unconscious people are victim of these things, where we as witches are supposed to be able to guide and find leverage of how to advert some of these energies when they're around.
Oh, yeah.
One of the advantages of consciousness.
Definitely. It is an advantage because, you know, there's a lot of good that can actually come out of a Mercury retrograde. Like I said before, when everybody else is losing their head and they don't even know why, because Mercury retrograde affects everybody, whether they're conscious of it or not.
Yep.
You know, our ability is to harness that power, and start some of the lessons I've learned during a retrograde are the ability to just shut the fuck up and watch what people do when everything is falling apart and see who they really are. And it's quite fascinating because that's been happening across the board in my business. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, I know why everyone's freaking out. It's not a discussion we can openly have here in the good old South, but I know what the hell's going on. And I'm just watching people twirl. It's really fascinating.
It is. And, you know, one interesting trait that my teacher in India, he said often, and a lot of people don't understand this. My teacher in India would always say, if people knew what the spiritual path was, they would run. They would not embrace it or feel like their ego is going to be fulfilled in that, in their spiritual life, because the antithesis of spiritual life is ego. It is about being egoless. But he would say one important factor that a lot of people don't know is that when you spiritually advance, you feel more, you don't feel less. And he would say people come to spirituality thinking, oh, I'm going to feel a lot more light. And my teacher would always say, look up in the universe at night. Look up there, and you see all of these shining bright lights. Those are the stars. And as you evolve, you can feel those stars. But look how much dark is around them. You have to feel all of that too. And so he would always say, when you spiritually advance, your feelings towards light become stronger and your feelings towards dark become stronger too. And so he would always say, if someone's just feeling one and not the other, they're not really that open. There are people out there that will tell you they don't feel this shit at all. And believe it or not, when people tell me they're not, like, feeling Mercury retrograde, I had someone do that to me yesterday. So someone told me, you told me Mercury's going to be retrograde, and I'll be honest with you, nothing's changed in my life. I don't know if I believe in it. The truth of the matter is, though, dense people don't have to feel all of these things, but they eventually will. That's what denseness in consciousness is. It's a veil that produces a lack of feeling. When you evolve, you feel more. You do not feel less. And eventually, you have to feel the whole thing. All of it. And even going back to, you know, a master, St. Francis of Assisi, you know, he was the perfect example, because he would feel everything that was going on around him. And he eventually ended up with stigmata because he ended up feeling exactly what he felt his master went through. You know, whether Christ was real or not is even irrelevant. He believed it was, and so he felt that suffering of that being and felt everything that he felt. In the end, he said, I only felt a fingernail of what that person felt. And by the way, you know, we've been doing these, like, we've been really, like, going anti-Christian. We've been having a lot of debates with Christianity. And I do something that insults them so bad, even though it's not really technically my philosophy, but I always tell them, you know, Christ belongs to our side. He's not on your side. Not on your side at all. Because when you and nor do I care about those being. I am a devotee of the Divine Mother. Whether Christ was real or not real, I could really honestly care less. I don't care. But I use that as a metaphor to bother other people. But when Christ was around, according to philosophy or time, if we have any evidence at all, I don't even know, but just assume that we have some evidence that Christ was around, we do talk about him, how he destroyed all the religion around him. Okay, we have that. He didn't like the fact that there was greed involved. He didn't like the fact that there was selfishness involved. He thought religion became greedy and became selfish. He wanted it destroyed. I am a firm believer that if he was real, that Christianity rebuilt everything he just destroyed and then put his name on it, which I believe is as evil as you could actually be. And so I firmly in my mind believe that that being was on my side, not that other side. And I say these things now and watch what that produces, just to get a response saying if Christ was real, you know, he destroyed religion for greed and selfishness. And that's all I feel religion is greed and selfishness. That's it. And then you go put the guy's name on top of it. I said that to me is about as hypocritical and as anti-Christ as anything could actually be. So he's on our side of the fence, not on yours. Those are the things I've been saying to kind of really irritate.
Well, I understand that. Yeah.
But at some level, I think that there could be a knowledge to that.
Yeah. Well, I definitely don't believe Christ was a capitalist. And I find that, well, I mean, if you look at the philosophies in and of themselves, you know, to care for others as you care for yourself, that is really not the standard of today's Christianity. So it's not that I have a problem with the Christian God, but I fucking hate his followers.
Well, I am literally a firm, and you've heard me say this before, I am a firm believer that the cult of Zeus is now Christianity. The cult of Zeus was the biggest form of religion in ancient Mediterranean mysticism. It had thousands and millions of followers. Zeus was the most worshipped god. And if you study just a little bit of history, you can see how the word Zeus, which is technically pronounced Zeus, that's how we say Zeus, Zeus, not Zeus, eventually became Deus, and that means God. And you can see it in literature, and even in the cult of Zeus, they believed that Zeus was going to reign as the supreme God for 3,000 years. I believe that's God the Father. And then you think about the characteristics. Okay, Zeus is the God of heaven, and he's the king of the gods. Okay, that's exactly what the Christian God the Father is. And if you ever look... No, what I'm saying is a much ignorant version of that ancient pagan deity. It's literally a bastardized version of it, 100%. But how could God the Father not be the king of heaven and the king of the gods? That is what Zeus was. But there were sides of Zeus that I really didn't like very much. I believe that Hades is the adversary of that. I believe that this Hades did evolve into like that satanic being over time. And I believe the wisdom is with that person. And I believe that witches, whether they want to kind of fully embrace the darker side of life or not, I believe we are connected to that shadow side of nature. And because I believe it's consciousness. I believe it's awakeness. I don't believe that it's ignorance and evil like Christianity has said. But
right.
I believe that Zeus is God the Father. And I believe that, you know, that Hercules, I believe, was Christ, because originally Hercules means to be tested by Hera repeatedly. Hercules means to be tested by Hera. And originally he was he was spiritual strength. He never was physical strength, ever. That had come out later. He was this massive muscle man. Originally, he was the ability to endure anything that came his way. Then Hera being the Divine Mother, that's one way of looking at Trinity. There's also Egyptian ways of looking at that Trinity. But I believe it is that circulating now, and I just think that it's you know, the cult of Zeus was huge. It exists now to this day. I think it's Christianity. I think it's a cult. I've been openly saying Christianity is just a cult. If you ever go online and you look at the definition of a cult, you have to then put Christianity right in that category. It's a cult. That's all it is.
Yeah.
agree.
And a stupid one. It's so much fun being against that because I feel the joy and the truth of being completely against what that is. And one thing about Luna 13 is really pulled up my anger towards it. Really, it's allowed me to fully feel how much frustration I have. Like if someone comes in for a reading and they start talking about Catholicism or Christianity, I shut that down real fast now. And where I didn't before. Like now I'm like, you know what? You can't on any level at all. You should see in my email box on Luna 13 how many Christians have said Christ is the only way to me in the last like week. I even this morning got up and had to erase a bunch. You can only experience love through Christ. I mean, how stupid is that belief? That is so ignorant in its belief that I can't even believe someone would even think that. Oh, we can only love one way, and the only doorway to heaven is Christ. It's like, how limiting is that spiritually to say this is the only way? It is the antithesis of spirituality itself. It's just stupid. It's just like, and now when people talk that way, I mean, you should see how many sites that Luna 13 goes against when they're Christianity. One guy told me Christ is the only way and sent me a meme, and I go right back to him, and I'm like, this is cult thinking. And one day you have to recognize that you are in a cult, and I hope one day you wake up from this cult. I'm saying this stuff like all the time to people now. And it's fun because I feel the truth in it. It's pure wisdom to kind of go, how could any universal force be experienced through one medium only? That doesn't make shit for sense. Why didn't he just make us all look the same and act the same? You know,
yeah,
India says, you want to know how many spiritual paths there are or how many faces you actually see? I believe that.
Wow.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. It totally makes sense. I mean, you know, it's because we all know several Christians, you know, and most of the people that I know personally, you know, I don't really discuss it with anybody just for the fact that, yeah, that, you know, that makes you happy, that and they're good people. They're not using it to, you know, go out and try to destroy other people's lives. Which is what it's kind of become. You know, I genuinely feel for people who, you know, I don't know how to describe it. That have the belief that follow the rules, you know, but let other people be. You know what I mean?
100%.
But coming at you and attacking you, you know, because it's not what they believe. That's just, yeah, that's stupid. And it's, I don't know, it's not cool.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of people choose it because it's in their family. And I believe when people start getting older, they miss their family. And their family attachments, I think, kind of keep them tied up to certain philosophies. And I believe that because I see it happen. In the last several years, the majority of the people I've seen go back to Christianity went back to their families.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm sorry. So there you go. But they become the person that they're losing, you know, from a political standpoint and a spiritual standpoint. It's very, very sad when you see an open mind start closing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's the way
I
generally see. And again, there are, it's like going back to, of course, there are good, you know, Muslims, there's good Christians out there, but the fact remains from a spiritual perspective, it's a lower choice. It's just a lower choice because it's a secular form of thinking. It doesn't really embrace a lot of higher ideals, and its belief that something can only be experienced one way, even if they're open-minded, it's like, no, that it means that they're being open-minded, they're still having to stretch their mind beyond the book that they're reading, which is that Bible thing, which is like one of the biggest contradictions to creation itself. It's like the book doesn't make any sense. It's like people, that's why you have the KKK quadrupling in size because of it. Because they can take whatever phrase they want out of it and just spread like wildfire. And because the book is just a contradiction. I can't even believe people care about that book. I mean, I tell people all the time, is like, if people are Christian, I'm like, the Dead Sea Scrolls were out there. The biggest finding in Christian history, the only book that has Christ's words in it. No, and it was just thrown out like trash by Christianity because the Bible sucks. The Bible is a crap shit book. I mean, can you believe that the Bible has to tell you not to sleep with animals? You should not lay with animals. Okay, I don't want to lay with animals. I don't need a book telling me not to have sex with an animal. I don't want to. And so I made this joke. It's like, isn't it sad that your book has to tell you not to have sex with animals? That must suck for you, doesn't it? It's like, that's how goofy that book is. It's like, do you, thou shalt not lay well with animals. I don't need to be told that.
Well,
I don't really want to do that. It's
my issue with the Bible is the abdication of personal responsibility. That's what pisses me off about the Bible and Christianity. It's like, take responsibility for your life and stop looking for some magic man in the sky to make shit happen for you. Make it fucking happen yourself. Take some responsibility and some fucking ownership of why you are the way you are, of why things in your life are the way they are. There's no personal accountability. And that's the thing that pisses me off about it.
Yeah.
100%. And right there, that part that frustrates you is what frustrates modern Satanists, that one part. And that, to me, is where Satanists and witches meet against that book, is that one philosophy. And also, most of the Satanists out in our world are atheists. But that, what you're saying, is their backbone. That is the backbone. You are responsible. And that's why I've always been attracted to them. I'm actually not really attracted to the type that are out here. I would, if I was going to be a Satanist, I would call myself a classical Satanist. A classical Satanist was in the 1600s and 1700s, which I might actually be one, by the way. And I'm having to kind of discover enough to go, are you that? Do you represent that spiritually in creation? The classical Satanist was someone who was pagan first and was ultimately being, you know, hounded by Christianity. And they finally accepted the word Satan because they believed that Satan was against that. And they're like, hey, listen, whatever that is, that Christian shit, we're against that. And if that Satan deity is against that, we might be aligned with that, and we might actually merge Pan and Satan together and Baphomet and create this, like, entity out of that and surrender to that because it's against your bullshit. That was the classical Satanist. That was the classical witch. That was the old-school witches. We are going to take that name, Satan. We are going to use it because that name seems to be against you and that crap that you believe in. I do wonder if that is where I'm at in my spiritual nature, is merging of that type of philosophy with paganism, because they were pagan first. Worshippers of Pan, worshippers of the Dark Mother, they did for a century, from the 1600s to 1700s, adapt the name Satan because it was against the church. And I'm like, I resonate with that era right there. So I had considered recently even using the term classical Satanist. They're pagans that allowed that name because they were so sick of Christianity. They're like, yeah, we'll adopt it because it's against you. And then they made Lucifer kind of like the devil, and that's where Luciferianism came from. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of really spiritually like that. If I'm free to choose whatever I want, not from a perspective of good, bad, right, or wrong, I might consider myself a CS, a classical Satanist, one of those ones that was pagan first and is absolutely pagan in belief, pagan in ritual. We're into the cult, we're into mysticism, but we don't mind using that name because it's so much against what is ignorant. And I can sense that part in me, and I kind of like it. And that part of me made me involve myself with some of those people, but when I involve myself with those people, I'm like, oh, man, I'm nothing like you guys. Nothing. I believe in the horned god. I believe in his hooves. I believe in his horns. I believe that is a real force. I've had personal encounters with forces higher than me. I'm not an atheist. So makes me more of a scarier version of them, because I'm going, no, I actually believe in that deity. I just believe he's Baphomet, Pan, our horn god, and I just think he is fully capable of taking the adversarial form, because what he's against is that Christian crap, and so am I. So I can see an allegiance with that era of the 1600s, 1700s Satanist, which we wanted to kind of pull out of this video that we have coming out tomorrow.
Hello?
Hello?
No?
I can hear you perfectly fine. Hello?
I don't know if anybody can hear me. If you can, we seem to have completely lost audio in the middle of a rather interesting conversation. I don't know what's going on. I seem to have lost my sister and our guest. Hello, sis. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm talking to you. I don't hear Jade. I don't hear you. Do you hear anything? Hello? All right. So apparently... Oh, hi, Jade. Okay, so Jade can hear me, apparently. I don't know if anybody else is hearing us, sweetheart. I can't hear you. So I don't know if either of us are still on the air. That's really weird, dude. I have never experienced that ever. Jade can hear me. I don't know if the audience can hear me. So Jade and I are currently messaging back and forth. My sister cannot hear anything. And Jay, our guest, says he may be on pause because he hung up and called back. So apparently I am the only survivor on the air right now. I don't know why that is. I'm not even running the show from my location. So anyway... with that being said, I don't know what the problem is. My sister can't get back in, and Jade isn't back in. So, guys, it's almost a quarter of nine. I'm going to say thank you to everybody who listened in with us tonight. And Sis and I will be back. Well, actually, I'll be back next week for the political show of the month. It's First Fridays with Taliesin. We are going to do what's happening in politics. So with that being said, and with this interesting shit happening, I'm going to wish you all bright blessings and safety and love during this fabulous lunar eclipse. And we will talk to you soon. Good night, everybody.